We all know the famous story of Hamlet, but have you ever seen it on stage? And have you ever seen it at a castle? Well, this week you can because British theatre troupe TNT is performing this famous Shakespearean tragedy at the castle in Grootbeharden, right outside of Brussels. We talked to the man who directed this production, who is also the director of TNT Theatre.
I'm Paul Stebbings. I'm the artistic director of TNT Theatre in the American Drama Group Europe, and I tour plays all around the world.
So TNT Theatre is a touring company, and if I'm not mistaken, you're one of the founders.
Yeah, that's right. I'm like an old rock band, still, we stayed together and developed partly in the 90s by combining with the American Drama Group Europe, which is really a producer rather than a theatre company.
And the American Drama Group, that's based in Munich, yes?
I
And you're
mean,
also the artistic director of that.
that's right. So, I
And
mean,
you are based in Munich. You're an expat, like so many of our listeners.
yes, I'm also, I say I'm a Brexit refugee as well. I mean, I've been here a long time, but I got my citizenship. I actually applied 3 days before the referendum in case it went wrong, and then I was in front of the queue, so I got a chance there. Trying to tour the theatre, it's like having two guided missiles pointed at us, one called COVID, one called Brexit, and to dodge them was pretty extraordinary. I mean, it was harder getting the visas for the English actors than it was rehearsing Hamlet. But we were the first British theatre company to get German Schengen work visas at all since Brexit. So we had just some trailblazing, and the Germans were very good actually, and really helped us.
And in better times, TNT toured all over the world, right? Including Asia.
We're the number one touring company in China, actually, or were until then. So China was very big for us, and Japan. And we also do collaborations with a theatre in Costa Rica. And we were just about to get South America under our belt, having done one small tour there. We had a whole thing organized, and we had to pull back from a 3 month tour of Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth. And we had to get people out of Colombia after 5 days. So.
The Shakespeare, for instance, is that in Elizabethan English? Or do you use surtitles?
We only use subtitles in China and Japan. We've experimented with a couple of times in rural Costa Rica, in the rainforest and this sort of thing. But overall, we do it in the original, which is what people want, really. And the style makes it accessible. I mean, really, if I go and see a Chekhov play, I want to see it in Russian. We do a lot of that. We don't just work in English. I do Don Quixote in Spanish. Notre Dame in French. Why not? It's better. Read a synopsis. If theatre's a language, if it's good theatre. Theatre's boring if it's just talking. But Shakespeare never does that. He never sits around and has people discussing things over a table. So it's really not a problem.
TNT is currently on this castle tour with Hamlet. Did you put that production together specifically for a castle setting?
Well, it has a long history. One of the advantages of staying with a company like this is that we develop productions. So this Hamlet began its life about 18, 19 years ago. It's not been in continuous repertoire since then, but it's been revived. But a couple of people in it were in younger roles. So our Polonius was the original Horatio, for example. And the advantage of this is that we keep some continuity, we keep the best things, and we develop new things. It's always done an outdoor tour when it's done a tour. Really, Shakespeare benefits from that because you're closer to the original. Shakespeare actors always saw their audience. So plunging them into darkness might give you nice lighting effects, but it's not what Shakespeare intends. When Hamlet is alone on stage in a darkened auditorium, he is alone to be or not to be. But when he's delivering to be or not to be to the entire audience who he can see, it changes how he performs it and how the audience perceive it. And that's what Shakespeare intended. Why did we plunge the audience into the darkness in the mid-19th century? Because we could. It's a bit odd, isn't it?
So this version of Hamlet takes place not inside the castle, but outside of it.
We follow Shakespeare. Some scenes are indoors and some scenes are outdoors in Elsinore. But the set is quite clever. I can say that because I didn't design it. In that it's a circle, half circle of wood, very beautifully made. When you sit on the half circle, you're inside. When you stand on it, you're outside. And this produces the battlement scene very quickly into a court scene, because in Shakespeare's day, there was no set. So all the scenes flowed quickly together. And you go and see some big National Theatre production, there's a great, great clanking of sets as Elsinore battlements appear. And then you get on with the play. But that's not what Shakespeare intended.
How did you go about adapting this really famous play? What are people going to see in Belgium this week?
They're going to see something which concentrates on clear storytelling. Shakespeare's a master storyteller, but some things have changed. There's minor characters that can easily be cut. You want to follow the development of the characters. So, for example, we start with a beautiful song set by Thomas Johnson, the composer, and we see Hamlet and Ophelia together by the sea, which is implied by the text. But if we never see anything positive about their relationship, then its destruction is a bit odd. So I will do things like that to help the audience understand that there is a relationship that's gone wrong, not just a bad relationship. And we also, we have a marvelous opportunity with Hamlet, because there is no play of Shakespeare's that has more versions written in his lifetime. There's at least three versions, if we include the folio, which was published shortly after his death, and they're different. And the shortest one has at least two scenes that are not in the longest one. So we pillage scenes which make more sense from the earliest text, and we a lovely scene with Gertrude and Horatio. But the poetry isn't so good. So we go back to the second quarto, which is the best poetry in my opinion. And I've got another one in front of me, and I just chopped and changed. Maybe not in the order he intended, but that makes a clearer play and allows us to create something where the audience can understand what's going on better.
And does the castle setting require you to adapt it in a certain way?
I think being aware of the outdoor setting is important. And of course, because it's set in a castle, it's perfect. And occasionally we have people running up and down battlements and whatnot. But it's difficult to do that all the time because there are certain constraints on people singing or on changing costume. But in the Château de Chillon in Switzerland, we can't get the stage in. It's too much like getting inside a real castle. It's not designed to get inside. That's what a castle is, isn't it? So we sort of gave up on that a few years ago. We just sit the audience down in the courtyard and run up and down staircases. It was very effective, really.
There's a lot of Shakespeare to choose from. Why Hamlet?
All of Shakespeare moves into and comes out of Hamlet. So although there might be better plays, Othello is better constructed, for example, and Macbeth's easier to follow and this sort of stuff, it is the crucial one. And if I'm being pretentious, I would say it invents the modern human. Hamlet is the first time in world literature that anybody really puts on stage someone deciding for themselves what's right and wrong. Lines like, there's nothing either good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. And the whole to be or not to be, he just has no idea what's going on. He is us, the modern human. It's not an atheist play, but you know, God's there or not there, or ghosts are there or not there. He's really not sure. Is it Catholic? Is it Protestant? He's all these things are all mixed together. But it's pretty clear that the reason why Hamlet is the most famous literary figure in the world is because somehow he taps into something. And that something has to be us humans being free from gods and kings and rules and having to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. The word conscience appears more than in any other Shakespeare play. So conscience is crucial. What do I mean by conscience? Conscience is like us deciding what's right and wrong. And it's pretty crucial, really. I'm not going to open Psalms, verse 3, chapter 4, to see what I've done is right. I am going to decide if it's right. That's what Hamlet does. And that's why Hilaire Belloc said famously that if a person has not read or seen Hamlet, it is as if they have spent their life at the bottom of a dark well.
I feel like several hundred years later, a lot of protagonists of a lot of plays and films and music are dealing with exactly the same issues that Hamlet is dealing with.
Yeah, they're universal. It's a domestic tragedy, really. I mean, you know, not a lot happens. There's a ghost, right? Okay. But apart from the ghost, who some people can see and some people can't, so it's not a particularly logical ghost and doesn't appear at the end of the play, you know, he's got problems with his mother and he's got problems with his stepfather and he's got problems with dying, what death means. So these are, what could be more universal? There are no battles in Hamlet. You know, it's an incredibly modern, it's a domestic drama. It's important that this is a king, but really there's no people in the play, just courtiers. Yeah, and it's very easy to follow. It's such a complicated play thematically, but it's real, if you strip it down a bit, it's really easy. It happens in one place, stepdad, mum, girlfriend, girlfriend's brother. You know, I mean, it's really girlfriend's dad. I mean, that's it, really. It's surprisingly accessible. And the audience love that. They get there, they think, well, I'm going to see Hamlet. That's a bit like, you know, going to the dentist, isn't it? And then they get there and they find actually it's fun and it's easy. And they're very, very grateful.
I can understand that. Because if you read Hamlet, it's like, whoa.
But you see, it's not fair. It's not meant to be read. I mean, let's be honest. Shakespeare didn't publish these plays to make money.
Right.
The folio was printed after his death. And in fact, he restricted them by only giving the actors their own lines. It's like saying, here's a musical score, please hum it along.
Yeah.
That's why it's deadly in the classroom. It's so unfair, you know? Stop giving kids Shakespeare to read. Just show them it. Take them to the theatre or even show them a film. And then talk about it.
The play is meant to take place rain or shine. So what happens if the weather doesn't play along? Because this is Belgium.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a review in the Süddeutsche Zeitung, which is quite a famous newspaper, and it only talked about the weather because it just poured with rain and they carried on playing. And they called the review to stay or not to stay. But we have to. You couldn't do outdoor theatre if you stopped because it was raining. We've been in northern Norway a couple of weeks ago. It was freezing. The actors are wearing skiing equipment under their costumes. People in northern Norway don't expect it to be warm. So they did the play in front of the castle at Trondheim.
And, so people just need to dress for the weather, bring their umbrellas if they need to.
We got spare raincapes if somebody forgets anything.
Hamlet is performed on Thursday, September 23rd. Check the Bulletin website, thebulletin.be, for ticket information.